Denise asked me to speak. She's on her way home from Tennessee, so let them be in your prayers today. Safe travels. Beth's there, and Morgan, and Amy, and Graham, and a bunch of them. So pray that everybody gets home safely today. What I want to talk about today is something very practical. Caleb sends out his newsletter from the mission that he's doing at Marshall University. And one of the things that he had listed on his prayer request I thought was really smart. And I never thought to pray for it before. But since I was praying for it for him, I was praying for it for me too. And so this is what this evolved into. So he said in his newsletter, he had a list of prayer requests, pray for my ministry here and financially and pray for us spiritually and that new people will come and that sort of thing. But he also said, pray that we will find new ways to show the love of God in a very practical way to the students here at Marshall. And I said, hey, that's a really good thing to pray for. Just meeting people in a very practical way that's not theology and philosophy and these very vague terms of God, which I tend to be nerdy about and like that kind of stuff. But not everybody relates to that. And so if you're not relatable, then what's the point? You're not going to be very effective. Amen. So we've been talking a lot about discipleship, and we've been talking a lot about what it means to be a disciple, and that there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that privilege. And one of the things that I think is top of the list for being a disciple is knowing the Word of God. Right. And so Lisa had a tip last week that I was like, oh, I need to do that. She said that she writes in her Bible when she has a prayer request, and she dates it. And then later, when she's received the answer to that prayer, she writes out the answer, and she dates it. And it's become a way for her to look back and have a log of where God has met her in her life over and over and time again. And even where she's in the midst of something and she thinks that it's a very big deal, and later she looks back on it and realizes maybe that's not such a big deal, but at the time it seemed like it. And so she's grown then. So she can see progress that she's made in her faith, where things that used to be a big deal and used to be a struggle for her aren't anymore, because she's rose up above that and has gotten more mature in her faith and that sort of thing. And so I thought, that's really good. I want other practical things like that that are helpful, that in my own life and in other people's life. So today is not going to be very deep, but it is going to be very practical. And so I thought that we would just talk about studying the Word of God, because that's something that as disciples we are required to do. And it's something that if you're a parent, that you're required to teach that to your children and them to understand that. That's your requirement as you disciple your children. And if you have children in your life, you're a mentor. Whether you realize it or not, you're a mentor. So not just of us with our own children, but any of us that have access to children, we're a mentor. And that's something that we can teach future generations. And that's what we're called to do as sons and daughters of God. So my first scripture is in Romans. I have a PowerPoint, aren't I fancy today? So this is Romans, this is 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I endure it because I'm going to be honest, I'm not always into it when I sit down. Sometimes I'm having one of those days where I'm tired and I don't feel like it, or, my husband's driving me crazy, or my kids are driving me crazy, or, your job is driving you crazy, that kind of thing, and you just don't so much feel like it. So sometimes it's endured, and I know that's not a good attitude, but sometimes that's my attitude, I'm going to be honest. Amen. Other times, it's an encouragement, and usually when I sit down to endure it, I stand up encouraged by it, I will say that, but either way, that gives us hope that we can see something in the scripture that could minister to us. The next one is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the book of Joshua tells us that the book of the law shall not depart from our mouth. We should meditate on it day and night. So this is a daily practice, direct instruction that we need to be in the Word daily. I'm not always good about that. I get on these strides and tangents where I read every day, and I sit down, and I do my Bible study, and I'm good about it. And then we go on vacation, or someone starts vomiting at our house, or life happens, and then I kind of get off track, and then I'm kind of off track for a little while, and I'm not doing it. And so I guess what I want to talk about today is how can we stay on track and do it, okay? Because I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that every day since I learned to read, I've been in the Word, okay? I'm human like all of you, and so sometimes I'm really good about this, and sometimes I'm really not. And so I'm going to be brave, like Trish told us, and just be honest about it. So we need to figure out a way to make this a daily practice, because that's what God has instructed us to do, and make it a daily practice with our children, which brings us to the next verse, I think. Well, and a couple. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Is that the one we're on? Good. "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Trish talked this morning about your soul crying out, and when you're tired, and when you're weary, and when you don't have words to put into your prayer, but you're just it. I'm just at my wit's end. I don't even know what to say when I want to pray, because I've hit a wall and I'm frustrated. That's where you need the Word of God that has been deposited at a previous time, okay? Because my husband's a banker, and so he'd be proud of me that I understand my banking terms this morning. If you don't make a deposit, you can't make a withdrawal, okay? So if you go to the bank and you are at home and you want to write out a check, and he's told me there's been several people that haven't understood this concept that he's had to explain this to. But if you have checks in your checkbook, it doesn't mean you have money in your checkbook. It just means you have checks. So just because it's there doesn't mean that it's in there, okay? So just because you have a Bible at home doesn't mean that that word has been deposited in you. You have to deposit money in order to make a withdrawal, okay? So if you don't deposit, then when it's time and it's an emergency and you need to make an emergency withdrawal from your account, you better hope you made a deposit some point along the way. And there are times in all of our lives that we need to make an emergency withdrawal, okay? I know that in my life, it was 4 months of bed rest with twins that I thought were going to die every day. Every time we went to the doctor, we had bad news, and I needed good news, okay? I needed somebody to say, "You're all coming out okay. Everybody's going to survive this." But that's not what we were hearing, and so I needed something deposited in me that my soul would cry out and say, "That is not the truth. That may be fact, but that's not the same as truth." And so, you know, there were times that I think it was like 4 months that I was in bed and I wasn't allowed to get up because we were trying to keep babies inside and not let them come out too soon. And so I was allowed up for about 10 minutes a day, and I could go to the bathroom, quick shower, put on clean clothes, back in bed. And I spent just about every day in the shower singing and praying and just saying scriptures over and over and over to myself to block out all the other information that was trying to come in, because I needed something to rise up inside of me and say, "Nope, I know the truth. Those may be the facts, but I know the truth." And that's what carried me, and that's what got me through, because otherwise I was going to lose my ever loving mind. You know what I mean? Like, that's my family. That's all I have. They're inside of me, and we're holding on to this, you know, and so I needed something to hold on to. Maybe, you know, your military or boot camp or stressful situations where you are isolated and alone and you need something, and you don't have access to mom and you don't have access to pastor, and you're in a situation, you better hope that you have deposited something in there so that you can withdraw on that in the times that you need it. And that's why this is important. That's why this is important. It's important not just for me, but it's important for the people around me. You know, in high school, I had a friend come to me, and she was going to kill herself. And she shared that with me because I was the only one in her life. And that's heavy for a teenager. Yes, you know what I mean? Like a teenager, I don't know what to do, you know. So I said her name, you know. you can't do this. This is a permanent fix to a temporary situation. Let me tell you something. Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And she said, what? And I said, I don't know everything about what you're going through, but I know that sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. And she said, what is that, a poem? And I said, no, that's Bible. And she said, I've never heard that before. Say that again. And I said, okay, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What you're going through is temporary. What you're trying to do to solve it is permanent. And so this is temporary. We have to figure out something else for you to do until this passes, because what you're trying to do is permanent and you can't take that back. So listen to me again. Sorrow may last for the night. Joy comes in the morning. This is going to end. This is going to get better. We are going to be okay. And she held on to that. And if that wasn't deposited, then I couldn't have withdrawn. You know what I'm saying? And so that's big. You know, that's life-changing. That's life-saving. And that's what the Word of God is, okay? So that's why this is important. Because if you're going to be a disciple, you need to be ready, you know? Pap, oh, geez. If you were here and Pap was here, you better have it. Because if he caught on you, you're at the pulpit, and that's the end of it. I remember one time I was at his house, and they were babysitting me. So I was little. I mean, I was little enough that I couldn't be left at home by myself. And I was spending the night, and he was watching his Westerns, and he had his Bible next to him because he was watching his Westerns. That was the drill, right? And so I'm eating the candy that I don't get at home and having the soda that I didn't get at home and eating grandma's vegetable soup and having a good time and watching Westerns with my pap, and he says, did you read your Bible today? And I said, not today, but I do read it. You know, because I didn't want to disappoint my pap. And he said, well, you better get back in the room and start studying. And I said, I didn't bring my Bible with me. And he said, you're spending the night somewhere and you didn't bring your Bible with you? And I said, no. And he said, well, you can borrow mine. Go head back to the room and start reading. He was serious about it. There was no, like, just because you're a child, that's no excuse. Get your Bible and get back in the room. I mean, and so I appreciate that now. I do appreciate that now because I was taught at a very early age there's no excuse. And so just because you're young or because you don't understand something or because you don't have a lot of experience with this sort of thing, that's not an excuse. Get your Bible and get back in the room. And so I'm thankful for that, that that was, you know, deposited in me and that the adults around me expected that of me. My dad, he's not here, but I'm sure he'll probably listen to this and his chest will puff up. But my dad was genius about one thing. I was a typical kid, and I wanted to stay up late every night past my bedtime, and he was not having that. Dad's a stickler about everything, okay? Curfew, whether you're with your aunt, I don't care, you're home by curfew. If it's bedtime, it's bedtime. I don't care if the world's on fire, it's bedtime, get in bed. But the only exception to that rule is if you're reading your Bible, you can stay up as late as you want. Well, little blonde girl here thinks that I'm getting away with something because I'm not allowed to stay up late for anything. But if I was staying up, I was reading my Bible, I could stay up as late as I wanted. So every night, I thought I was getting, you know, something cool, and I had privileges. And so I would stay up until wee hours in the morning reading my Bible because that was the only way I got to stay up late, and I thought I was cool like that. So I got in a pattern and in a habit of reading my Bible because my dad let it be a priority, and he let it be, you know, that's the exception. That's the only exception. And so if you have kids, that's a great tool. I read Bible cover to cover in 2 years at like 8 or 9 years old because I thought I was getting away with staying up late. So that's not like braggy on me, that's braggy on dad. Like, do that with your kids because that's it works. That's a good tip. You know, if you've got your grandkids staying over and they want to stay up a little bit longer, well, I guess we can stay up a little bit longer if we read Bible story. You know, like that kind of thing. That's helpful. That's a good tip. That's practical. Okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy. I think that talks about children. Yes. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. I think this is the Message version. I like this one. Place these words on your heart. Get them deep inside of you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home, walking in the street, talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall in bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorpost and gates of your cities so that you'll live a long time and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is sky over the earth. This was told to the children of Israel when they were going into the promised land. And he wanted to make sure, don't bring bad habits that you learned in Egypt with you. This is the land that I have promised. This is what we're establishing here. This is what we're building, the foundation of your new city, the foundation of your families, the foundation of the lives of your children, of your marriages. This is all built on the foundation of the Word of God. Talk about it. Talk about it all day long. If you're at home, if you're away from home, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, this is your focus. This is your meditation. This is the foundation of your life. Okay? That's what he directed them to do. And I don't think this is just for the children of Israel. I think this is for us, and this is for our families. So I think we can glean from that. Let's go to the next one. Okay, so practical stuff. If you're completely new to this, because I'm sure that some of you are totally new to this and you don't really know what you're supposed to do. And the Bible can be very overwhelming. And especially if you're sitting down with the King James Version and you flip to Leviticus, you're going to be lost, okay? So if you really don't know what you're doing, we're going to talk about that. And a lot of you are more experienced with the Bible than I am. So obviously that's not going to apply to you, but I might do it different than you. So maybe the way I do it will be like a new tool that you can use. And also all of us, well, okay, all of me, I need to stay on track and not like deviate from the plan. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels that way. So we're going to talk about tips for that too. So again, not deep stuff today, just very practical stuff. If you're the traditional type and you're not big on, smartphones, when I sit down for a Bible study, this is what I have: a Sharpie, a smartphone, or my Samsung tablet, and a spiral-bound notebook. That's what I use. If you're not a tech person, that's cool. Get out your Strongs. You know, like I'm sure Wilda and Patsy, you guys are probably more comfortable in a Strongs concordance than you are the YouVersion, you know, and the latest app. Because I like apps, you know. But get a Bible. Get something that you understand. It doesn't have to be King James Version. It can be Message Bible. I like, Mom likes Amplified. I'm not real big on Amplified, but that works for her. I like American Standard. I like Good News Translation. I like the Message Bible. I like variety. I like to mix it up. So I kind of read through all of them. But get something that you understand. And if that means that you pick up a children's Bible, if you want a children's Bible, cool. You know, there's nothing, no shame in that. If that's what you understand and your reading comprehension isn't what you want it to be, you're going to get something out of that. And if you want to pick up a children's one or you have kids, I like the Jesus Storybook Bible because that one speaks to me when I read it to my kids. That's a fantastic Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible. And they have a DVD set that goes with that that like reads it verbatim and it has nice illustrations. And my kids learn a lot from that. I like that one too. I like YouVersion. It's on the Google Play Store. Who has iPhones? Can you get... Okay, good. Okay, so you can get YouVersion on Google. YouVersion is a beautiful thing, okay? YouVersion is wonderful. So you can download it from the App Store. It's free, okay? And they have, like, every translation that you've ever heard of and a few that you've never heard of, like the Western Caribbean slang translation or something strange like that. There's all kinds of stuff on there. There's all kinds of plans on there. You can get all kinds of devotional content. You can do topical searches. You can just read. You can read in different it's wonderful. YouVersion is my personal favorite. But there's a lot of apps out there, and there's a lot of things that you can do online. Get a notebook. And that's good. And I didn't do that before. I just would sit down, and I tend to retain information pretty well, and so I didn't really think that I needed to write things down. But since I've started with a notebook, I remember things better, and I spend longer on verses, and I'm writing down now prayers and answers to prayers, and I'm coming back to things, and sometimes I read through something, and I want to read that, but then I get to something else, and then I never get back to the first thing I saw. So if I write it down, I'm more likely to do that. I don't know. I'm kind of scatterbrained. So notebook helps me. So I just have a little spiral bound. It doesn't have to be fancy. But they do have all kinds of pretty fancy ones out there if that's your thing too. So let's go to the next one. Okay, if you have never really read your Bible before, or you're new to this, or maybe if you're not and I do something different, topical study is one way to do this. So let's say your husband's driving you crazy and you've been fighting all week, okay? Maybe you should start with reading what the Bible has to say about marriage, you know? And if you're the wife, then you can read, you know, the Proverbs about a wife and, thank you, 31. Thank you, Trish. See, she's been reading this week, too. So the Proverbs 31 wife and, you know, a virtuous woman and what that means and that sort of thing. The Bible says all kinds of things about marriage. Your kids are driving you crazy, and they're not listening to you, and it's chaos in your house all the time. Then you can talk about, or you can read about what the Bible says about being a parent. And if you don't know where to find that, get on Google and type in parenting scriptures, or what does the Bible say about being a parent? And you will get thousands of hits on that. So you can do a topical search. You can also do that with the YouVersion app. There's a search bar you can do that with. You can do that with the Strongs. You can sometimes do that with an index in the back of your Bible, and it'll say what to read when you're feeling anxious, what to read when you have grief, you know, like that sort of thing. Start there. Start and just go down and read scripture after scripture about the particular thing that you're dealing with in your life now. That's a good way to start. That's easy. That's a topical thing. I really like crew.org. I found crew.org, C-R-U, not like crew, like rowing a boat, but I don't even know what that stands for, to be honest with you. It's a wonderful website. I think that it was originally started for on-campus ministries at colleges. Is it the Methodist Church? I don't really know who it is. I love them, whoever they are. I learn all kinds of stuff from these people. It's very sound, and it's not doctrine-type stuff. It's very sound, Bible-based. Like, it's a wonderful website. And I use that sometimes when I'm feeling kind of like, I don't know what people are talking about when they say this or whatever. I read all kinds of stuff on Crew when I was studying about fasting that a lot of people didn't have a lot of stuff about, and they had all kinds of stuff about it. So check out that website, crew.org. A Strong's Concordance, you know, that's old school for my generation, but probably a lot of you are very comfortable with that, a Strong's. If you want a Strong's and you are afraid of the smart technology type stuff, I have a giant one that sits on my shelf that since I've switched to apps, you're welcome to it if anybody wants a Strong's. I have a big, beautiful one that I never use because I have one in my hand, and so I tend to go to that one more. So if anybody wants a Strong's, I've got one. For kids, I like Max Licato, VeggieTales, Jesus Storybook Bible. Great resources, great resources. My Charlotte really likes VeggieTales. Jackson does too, but Charlotte can tell you all about Joshua because of VeggieTales. They can tell you all about Esther. They can tell you all about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They can tell you all kinds of stuff about the Bible that isn't credit to me. It's credit to VeggieTales. Good programming, okay? Max Licato has a lot of nice stories books that aren't so much like it's a Bible story. He has that too, but he has some stories that have a deeper truth to them, and they're good conversation starters. So that's a good resource if you have children and grandchildren. And the Jesus Storybook Bible is by far, I love it. It's wonderful. And you can get that on DVD. You can get that in print version. And they have an app also, so download it on your kid's Kindle or whatever it is that your kids are using, or grandkids. Okay. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And that's really important. We really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Go ahead. Thank you. I didn't know what that was.
It's a similar organization to the Chi Alpha.
Okay, that Caleb does. Okay.
They're sort of parallel organizations.
Cool. Yeah, I love Jesus Storybook Bible, and when I started reading that to my kids, I really liked it because when I was a kid and I would read, for example, Noah, you know, Noah and the Ark. And then, you know, and I'm hearing my parents in Sunday school, and I grew up in church, so that was a bonus, you know. But you hear these stories about how much God loves you and how much God loves the world, and then he destroyed the whole world with a flood. And that's confusing to a kid. Like, you know, the wrath of God and destroying the whole world. Like, at least with the Jesus Storybook Bible, it explains, but that's not the end of the story. Jesus, you know, God is going to send I think they call it the hero. They call him the hero. God is going to send the hero, and the hero is going to, there will never be a need for that, because he's not just saving one family. He's saving the whole world, and there's a better plan in this, and this is what this is all about. And it really explains it, so it doesn't seem so, like, black and white and confusing and harsh. It explains things well. So if you don't understand all of that and how New Testament has to do with Old Testament and how those are parallel and that sort of thing, adults, read the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful book. So let's go from there. Oh, this is Charlotte. I'm proud of her because she's reading now, and she's reading on a level that she's starting to read her Bible on her own, and I'm following in the footsteps of my daddy and telling her she can stay up as late as she wants to read, and so she is. And so this is the other night. She fell asleep with her Bible on her lap. Isn't that the most precious thing you ever saw? Okay. I just love her. So I just, okay, so you can, I just wanted to brag. Okay, go ahead. You can skip that. Okay, this is something that I found on Pinterest, because I love Pinterest, and this is great. I never knew how to do this before, but this is a really neat way to do Bible study that maybe a lot of you have done Bible study forever and you've never heard of this. It's called the SOAP method. I don't know if you can see this. So S-O-A-P, SOAP. So you find a place that you want to read. Like, say you want to start with Psalms, okay, and you want to read about Psalms. You read until you find a scripture that is kind of meaningful to you or that stands out. And then, so S stands for scripture, okay? And so what I do then is I read until something kind of strikes me or like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I write it out, okay? That's not something that I did before, but I've started doing that, and it helps it kind of stick a little bit better. If you type something out, you don't really comprehend it as well as if you write something out. It has to do with the way that your brain works. Anyway, so I like to write it out. And then the next one is O, and that's observation. So I'll read through an observation. What was interesting about this? What's something that I learned that I didn't know before? What was God saying to me in this passage of scripture? So I'll write that out too, okay? Application. How can you apply this to your life? Okay, how are you going to let this change you? So, I write in my SOAP, and I write out from that, okay? And then a prayer. Respond to God in prayer. Use the scripture as a guide. Ask God to help you to meditate on that and apply that to your life. And I think I put an example in here of my notebook. Is it the next? Okay, so this is my notebook that you can see that I've got here. And, like me, you can't see very well, so I'll tell you what that says. Let me find it. It's blue. So this is just an example of where I did the SOAP thing. That's okay. I'll read it from there. So the first one was scripture. I was reading Psalms 119, 9 through 16, and then I read 7 through 24. The scripture that jumped out to me was, open my eyes that I can see what you show me of your miracle wonders. I'm a stranger in these parts. Give me clear directions. So I thought, oh, that's a good one. I'll write that down. Okay. So my observation, the O, I put, maybe there are miracles happening all around us and our eyes aren't always open to them. Okay. For my application, I said, I want clear direction. So let's turn the page. And it says, but I'm fearful. So sometimes I know what the direction is, but I'm afraid of the direction that I'm supposed to take. So then my prayer in that is, deliver me from all my fears, help me to see your everyday miracles, and give me clear directions that I can understand. So see, I just took a little part of Psalms. I read until something jumped out. Okay, jot down some notes. What's the scripture? What's the observation that I see in that? How can I apply that to my life? Now let's pray about it. That's pretty basic. That's simple. Everybody can do that. And it kind of, like, puts your thoughts in order. I'm a little bit scattered. I tend to like have, you know, four versions of going at the same time. I'm one of those people that reads like 8 or 9 books at a time. I can't like stick with one thing until I finish it. I'm too much of a multitasker. I can't help it. So this kind of helps me bring all my thoughts together. It's very organized. It's very straightforward, and it's effective. Okay? So let's go to the next one. Okay. This is more my speed, and this is a little bit more involved, but this is kind of what I generally tend to do, and this is mapping. Well, Pinterest calls it mapping. I just thought it was the Aaron method until I saw it on Pinterest, and I was like, oh, I'm not the only one that does that. But I think that Lisa kind of does something like this, too, because it seems like her train of thought sometimes is a little bit meandering like mine. So I will write out a scripture that I don't really get, okay? And so I'll be reading along and something will, like, what are they talking about? Like, I was on the right track here. I was with it and they took a detour and now I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I don't know if you guys do that when you're reading sometimes, but I'm like, what is that about? What does that have to do with this? So when that happens, I write it down and I try to figure it out. Okay. So it says, write out a scripture, look for words or phrases that you don't understand or that seem out of place. Look up the words in the dictionary. If you don't know what they mean, look them up. Most of us have a dictionary in our hands most of the time, so it's not a big deal anymore like it was when I was a kid where you had to, like, go find a dictionary and then you don't know how to spell it and then you have to figure it out and you don't really understand the definition. That makes it very simple for you now if you've got devices. I love technology and I hate technology like most Americans. You know, when it works and it does what I want it to do, I really love it, but when it doesn't, I want to throw it out the window. But do a search. See if the phrase is repeated somewhere else in the Bible. This is called a companion scripture. So sometimes if you don't understand the scripture and you type it in on like a Google search, you'll realize that that's not the only place it is in the Bible. Sometimes it's somewhere else too. And if you read it in that context, then it makes more sense and then you can understand it better. If you really want to be geeky like me, you'll look up Hebrew and Greek meanings, or Latin, or all kinds of fun stuff like that. You can see if there's a custom mentioned in there that you don't understand. And you've heard me talk before, you know, I'm kind of a nerd about Jewish culture and all that kind of stuff. So if they're talking about foot washing, or they're talking about clean and unclean, or kosher things, or hand washing, or ritual bathing, or they're talking about certain foods, or high holidays, or anything like that, you can just look that stuff up, and then a lot of times, just in a Google search, like, foot washing, what's that all about? You know, and then it'll give you all kinds of things that have to do with that, and then if you understand that, oh, I get it. Like, for example, the prodigal son. The prodigal son is the one that left home, and then he came back later, okay? He was out feeding the pigs. If you don't realize that if you're a good Jewish boy and you left home and you're feeding hogs, you've totally disgraced your whole family, and they should be disowning you because it's an unclean animal, and because of ritual purification practices, you shouldn't be anywhere near the vicinity of hogs, much less feeding them, or touching their food, or touching them, or shoveling, you know, their waste, and that sort of thing. So what should have happened in that situation when he came home, and his father and everybody in the village should have met him at the point of the village, where the village starts and wilderness begins, come out, turn their back on him, and he's shunned. He's not supposed to be allowed back home. The fact that he ran out to meet him and invited him in with open arms and gave him a robe and a ring and they had a party, that was completely not the routine. That was a really big deal. So if you understand the cultures and the customs behind some of this, you understand the magnitude of the forgiveness. You understand the magnitude of, you know, of him accepting us at our worst when we've shamed the village and we should be shunned and he's still taking us in and giving us his robe and putting a ring on their finger and even the ring on the finger, and that's to signify that they're the next heir and like the whole thing with that. I mean, if you understand the background of these stories, it makes more sense. So sometimes if you see something and you don't really get it, okay, good. Stop. Pause on that. And read some more about what you don't understand, and it may open up a whole new can of worms that you never even realized was there before, okay? After exhausting your search, read it again. Write it again if you need to. And then you can decide how to apply that to your own life, how to pray about that, that sort of thing. So So the point here is not one of these plans where you can read through the Bible in a year because you read this chapter and this verse on this day. That's fine. Do that if that works for you, because some people like that. But, you know, if you're not getting anything out of it and you're just reading it like a robot, then that's kind of defeating the whole purpose. You know, you should be gaining something from this and gleaning something from this that is useful and practical in your everyday life. Okay? So we can go to the next one. So this is what my notebook looks like, and this. I was reading Psalms 95, 1 through 7, the Message version, and it says, come, let's shout praises to God. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. And I liked that, drop everything and listen to me. So you can probably see I have like S's and O's for soap and stuff like that. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I didn't know what they were talking about. I thought in the wilderness, well, Jesus was in the wilderness, but he wasn't provoking God in the wilderness. Like, I was on board, you know, drop everything, sing your praises to God. Okay, that's good stuff. I'll write that down. And then we're in the wilderness and we're provoking God, and I don't know what we're talking about anymore. So I looked that up. I said, it says, don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, as in the day of the wilderness test. Again, the only wilderness test I could think of was when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tested by Satan, and that didn't seem to fit in this. So I read some more about it. I did it in two different versions because I thought, well, maybe if I look at it in a different version, I'll understand it better, and I still didn't get it. So then there was a, you know, sometimes you'll see like a little number or an asterisk, and it'll say at the bottom, you know, what that's all about. It'll be like a footnote. So the footnote was Meribah and Massah. So I type in Meribah, Massah, what's that, you know, on Google. And so the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops had a whole thing about Meribah and Massah. So I was like, okay, let's go listen to what the Catholics have to say. So I start reading about that. So I found out that Meribah is the place where the Israelites were in the wilderness. That didn't have anything to do with Jesus being in the wilderness. It was the children of Israel. They left Egypt. They're going to the Promised Land. They stop in Meribah and Manasseh, and then they cause contention with God. You can go to the next page. And they're arguing. Oh, okay. I thought there was something else. And they're arguing with God, and they're analyzing everything to death, and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, and they just need to listen and do what they're told. Okay. And so I said, oh, okay, I need to do that too. I don't need to always argue and analyze everything that God tells me to death. Sometimes I just need to be quiet and do what I'm told. So I wrote that down, and that was my prayer for the day. And so that made sense to me, you know, where I started with it, and I could have just glazed over that. I don't get it. Okay, skim. Let's move on. But instead, I said, okay, I don't understand that. Let's figure it out. So when I stopped to figure it out, then I got something from it, because that kind of checked in my spirit, like, oh, okay, sometimes I'm like the children of Israel. I need to be quiet and just listen. So, okay, so we can go to the next one. If there, another thing that you can do to read the Bible is scripture writing and memorization. And so Pinterest has all kinds of lists. Like I said, the back of your Bible and the index, you can get lists. And you can have a list. Like, this is about being thankful. And this is from some lady housewife blogger. She makes these every month, okay? And she's on Pinterest, and so sometimes I'll get her stuff because I like that. And it'll give you a list. This is a scripture to read about thankfulness on this day of November. And so you can write it out and pray about it and think about it and kind of meditate on that for the day. And it'll give you a whole reading plan. And this is good if you don't have a lot of time. You can just go online, print out a plan, and then you don't have to kind of start from scratch every day. You have, this is today, the first, and today I'm supposed to read this. So it gives you, like, a plan to go by. And sometimes that's nice. If you don't have a whole lot of time on your hands, it's like, okay, today's the 5th. Today I'm supposed to read Colossians 3, 12 through 17. That's not going to take a lot of time, okay? Sit down, read your scripture of the day, think about it, pray on that, and then go on to your next task. So that's helpful if you don't have a lot of time on your hands. So let's go to the next one. Sometimes, with my kids, a lot of times if I want them to memorize something, like we do, like we memorized all the presidents for school, we homeschool, or I don't know if you're in states or capitals or whatever. If you've been in college ever, you're familiar with flashcards, okay? So if you want to memorize a scripture, sometimes it's helpful to do some cardstock or index cards, write out your scriptures and put a ring on them, you know, and just flip through those once a day. You know, you're sitting in the pickup line to get your kids from school, or you're at the doctor's office in the waiting room, or you get to work 10 minutes early every day for work just in case there was traffic, but there never is. You know, and so you can pull out your cards, and how long does that take really to like write out a scripture, to just stick it on your card? And then you can flip through those, just read each of them once, toss it back in your bag, and you've done your reading and you're memorizing that as you go. The more you read it, the more it's going to stick. So that can be helpful for some people. I liked that one because it applied to me, but there's a million out there, and you can make your own. I'm not a musically inclined person, but if you're a musically inclined person, there's a devotion right now on YouVersion that I was kind of peeking at, and it's hymns that are popular around Christmas, and it's like an Advent thing. So it has a hymn, and you read the lyrics out from that, and then it has a corresponding scripture that goes with it. And so if you're familiar with the hymns, then it'll give you scriptures to read. And so if you like to sing, you know, maybe that's Beth's cup of tea, you know, you can kind of listen to the song, and then here's scriptures that go with this song, read this. And so that's nice if that's your thing. You can listen to the song in the car, and then when you get to work, you know, sit down for 5 minutes and read through the scriptures that go with it, and then do that again on your way back home. And then you've, you know, gone over that a couple times, and it's getting in there in your head. Some people really like these adult coloring books, you know, like that's become trendy. They have scripture ones, so you're actually coloring scriptures. So if that's your thing and you need time to, like, just be quiet and decompress in order for you to absorb the information, and you're an artistic type, that might work for you. You know, if you are a musical type, this time of year, Lisa says it every year, Beth says it every year, and I did it, and now I'm on the bandwagon too. You need to do it every year. Listen to Handel's Messiah, just the operatic, you know, it's old school. It's good stuff. And I put it on YouTube, and I listen to the lyrics, and I read. Handel's Messiah is just scripture set to music. And so I just put it on YouTube, and it has, like, you know, pictures of Christmas time or something. I don't really know. But it has the scriptures written out that they're singing. And so I sit, and it takes them a little while to sing one scripture. So I've had time to kind of read that scripture a couple times while I'm listening to them sing it and really think about that. And there were a lot of scriptures in Handel's Messiah that I never even thought of as Christmas scriptures that had anything to do with that. And it takes, Handel's takes it all the way from the birth of Christ to the resurrection. It's beautiful. So I did part of it for Christmas, and then I did the other part for Easter, because there's the whole crucifixion resurrection part of it. And that's good stuff too. That may be helpful for you. Okay, we can. So this is like the coloring sheet thing that I told you about. And we can go to the next one. Some people are doing these, like, Bible doodling, journaling type things. If that's your speed, cool. A lot of people do, like, they write in their Bibles. A lot of people like to write in their Bibles. I was at a mom's night thing for the other women that homeschool in our community, and one of the moms said, you know, if there was a fire, I would grab my Bible, and that's what I would take. And I was like, you can't buy another Bible the next day? Like, your house is burning down? You can't just buy another Bible? She says, no, all my notes are in there. And I was like, oh, all my notes are in a notebook. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, and so I'm spinning. Yeah, if I don't grab it. I said, well, I guess God will just have to reveal it to me again, because I don't, yeah, I'm not grabbing all that. But she does something closer to this, I guess, where she's writing stuff in the margins. And I know Lisa does that too. So, and then it's all in one place. You don't need to have a separate notebook if that works for you. So let's go to the next one. Okay, so here's some answers to your excuses of being too busy. Do it on your lunch break. Set your alarm 15 minutes earlier and get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning, okay? Listen to the Bible on CD in your car. I have it on Message if anybody wants to borrow that. I've got the whole Bible Message version on CDs. Listen to it on your commute. Trade some of your social media time for Bible time. Guilty. You know, like, I'll scroll on Facebook for 20 minutes, and then I'm like, oh, I need to read my Bible. You know what I mean? And it was, like, just as accessible. Like, that's not really a good excuse. So trade in one article out of your morning paper for one chapter in your Bible. One TV show for one chapter. You know, like we're watching TV. We're all on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. You know, like we have time. You know what I mean? Like everybody says, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Like if you're on social media, you have time. You know? Okay. Do it while you wait in the pickup line at school, waiting room at the doctor's office. I like to stay up when everybody else goes to bed because I'm home all day with my children, and that is the only time in my house that it is quiet. Everyone is sleeping, and it's me time, and so I stay up late. I am not setting my alarm 15 minutes earlier, okay, guys? Like, I'm staying up 15 minutes later. That works for me, okay? Whatever works for you. Put an alarm on your phone if you have YouVersion. It'll send you a text message and say you haven't read your Bible devotion for today. Would you like to do that now? So you can do that. You know, you can put that on your calendar. Schedule into your day. If you have a 15-minute break at work and then you have an hour for lunch, use your 15-minute break for Bible study and do your hour lunch later, you know. I penned that for myself. No judgment. That was for me. That wasn't for you. But if that applies to you, you know. Yeah. Okay, so here's the kicker. According to research, it takes at least 21 days to develop a habit, but for most people, it takes 66 days of doing something daily but before it becomes a natural thing in your life. So if you're like me, and you do good for a little while, and then you kind of deviate and don't do good, and then you get back on track, and you start doing it again, and you get back off. If you do it 21 days, that's great. That may work for a really disciplined person. If you're like most people, it's going to take 66 days of doing this before it's routine. You do it every day without thinking about it. So I'm challenging you guys to start doing this today. It is, I think, 63 days until New Year's, okay? So if you start today and you do it until New Year's, you don't need a New Year's resolution because you've already got something and it's become a habit that should be very natural for you that you can do. So if you would like to try that with me, I'm doing that. I'm doing that with my kids, okay? We're trying to do this. We started last week because I'm teaching this Sunday. And so that's what we're doing. So if you would like to do that with me, great. Hashtag it or whatever it is you got to do. Things that make the goal more likely to happen, if your goal is very specific, you're more likely to do it. So saying, I need to be better about Bible study probably isn't as helpful as saying, I want to sit down every day at 9 o'clock and read the Bible for 15 minutes. You're more likely to stick with that because it's a more specific plan and you've scheduled it. So if you need to put an alarm on your phone or whatever. And then keep a log of that. Track the days that you do it. Put a little dot on your calendar. Or be like me and have a notebook so that you can kind of be accountable. And it kind of gives you a sense of accomplishment, you know, if you're doing something like that. It's kind of like the people that do like Weight Watchers and they go for the meeting. They're not going for the meeting because they want to socialize. They're going for the meeting because they know they have to stand on the scale in front of everybody, and that keeps them accountable during the week, you know, because that works for some people. So I write it I write things down because that works for me. It kind of helps me to be more accountable and then have like, I know if I'm staying on track or not because I'll date it. So if my last date was a month ago, then that wasn't the best choice. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Let's go to the next one. So this is, again, studying scripture every day until January 1st. We're doing this at our house. And if you can do it every day between now and New Year's, then it should be cement. Okay? And so I don't stand up here to, like, guilt you guys or, like, you know, no judgment, nothing like that. I know that I need this for me. So if you need this for you, you can do it with me, okay? So, like, again, no, like, you haven't been reading your Bibles, none of that stuff. I need to be better about this. This is what I'm doing. So if you want to do it with me, I'm challenging the church to do it with us, okay? So that's where I'm at, okay? Now, some of you have been doing this stuff a lot longer than I have, so I want to hear tips, if any of you have tips or suggestions or what you do that maybe I can do or anybody else can do. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Just some of our courses used to be a lot more, but some of our
scripture. So
Lisa said I had to give everyone the microphone when they talked. She reminded me last week.
I don't mind. I don't mind. But it's good for us all to be, you know, I do the same thing. I'm a list person, and I list every day, read your Bible, pray. And everybody say, well, why would you need to do that? Because I'm busy.
Because when you check it off the list, I get it.
When you check it off the list, it's done. And take a note. And it is advantageous for you because you do need to have that word. And we all should read the Bible through. And if you haven't read it through in your Christian walk, you should, because it's just advantageous to you to be able to walk the walk and to be able to move through. An example, I just wanted to refer back to your prodigal example. No one really knew that he was in the pig pen, but working in agriculture for about 5 years, if you're on a farm, guess what? You can smell you. Amen. And you don't think you smell you, but when the father ran to meet him, he knew exactly where he had been, and he brought him back into his home. And he said, get the robe, get the ring, and let's have a feast. Yeah. So he did know, you're right, he did know where he was at, and he still forgave him and let that mercy move through. So,
I had one more scripture that you just reminded me of. On my handy dandy here. I'm not always good about knowing. I can quote scripture, but I don't always know the chapter and verse, so I had to look it up. Here it is. Okay, this is Message version, Hebrews 4. And I know it in the King James, like I can say it, but in the Message, I like the way it sounded. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. King James says sharper than any two-edged sword. But I like that. It says it's more powerful than a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey, and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. And there have been times, at least in my life, that I've been in a situation and I'm about to say something. I don't always do things, but sometimes my mouth gets away from me and I say things. And I've started to say something, and then the Holy Spirit checks that and brings to memory a verse, and it stops me and makes me make a more advantageous decision in that. One of them especially is a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so I memorized that because I was being harsh sometimes, and so there's been quite a few times that my husband has said something very innocent, in his mind, very innocent to me, and I took it and was like, you know, and I was offended by it, and so I wanted to retaliate, you know, because that's my nature, and I read that one day, and I wrote it down, because it checked me. And then I prayed that God would apply that to my heart and he would bring it up when I didn't want to hear it. But I put it on my refrigerator for a little bit. And I would read that every day because it's in front of me. It's in front of my face every day until I had it memorized and then I took it down. But then it would come up and check me sometimes because I had a tendency and I had gotten a habit of turning a harsh word. And you know, that stings, and you can't take that back all the time. And so I learned that I need to be more gentle with my words, not just with my husband, with everybody, with my children. There's times when I'm tired, and I'm hangry, you know. You get, like, hungry and angry, and so I don't feel gentle, you know what I mean? But my words need to be gentle. And so my children have learned since I memorized that scripture that if mommy is whispering, you better listen, because I'm trying really hard to be gentle with you. And so we need to listen right now because mommy getting quieter usually means I'm getting angrier. So I've learned to be gentle with my words instead of harsh. And so that's one, if you memorize scripture, then it'll come up when you need it. Anybody else have anything else to add? Yeah, you're going to need it.
We come together in this house on Sundays and Wednesdays to draw from the body and to fellowship, and that gives us strength. We come together to worship together, and that gives us strength. But there are periods of time, and most periods, when we're not in the group setting, and that's part of the local body, the local church, is to come together and to be able to call out on the prayer chain and all those things.
Yeah.
But there are times when you're going to need that scripture in you.
Yeah.
As we get older, we don't always memorize it as well. So if we're young in this house this morning, we should take that word and read it and learn it and apply it. As we get older, we better have something to write something down, because we don't retain as well.
Yeah.
And but it's a good study this morning, and I think that we as a body need to emphasize the word as much as the spirit and the song and the fellowship. And so that's good. It's a good word.
Amen.
I remember the first time that happened for me as a child, when I we were going to go to King's Dominion with the Sunday school trip, for a field trip. And in order to get to go to King's Dominion, you had to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And you had to get up on the platform and recite it. And I had to get up on that platform probably 5 or 6 times, because I thought I knew it. And I would say it, and I would, like, stumble and blunder a little. And Lisa would say, "You're getting there." And I was like, oh. And so I would go sit down, and I was getting there. That mean I had to work on it some more and go back and study it and memorize it more, because it wasn't right yet. I didn't really know it. You know, Pap always said, you know. And so, like, she wasn't going to settle for shoddy, because Christian shoddy's still shoddy. That's per Trish. And so, but you know what happened? I don't even remember what the situation was. I don't even know what it was, because I was a little kid. But I do remember being afraid, being really, really afraid of something. And the Spirit checked that scripture in my mind about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall. And I said that over and over and over again until I wasn't afraid anymore. And that was life-changing for me as a child, to be able to have something to hang on to when my mommy wasn't there, and when I was, you know, feeling afraid and alone. Because I'm, you know, we're all still little kids inside sometimes, when you just want your mom. And, you know, like, at least I am. I'm a kid sometimes when I still need something. And so when none of that is around, that's what I cling to. That's my life rope. That's where I'm floating, okay, is with these scriptures. So I encourage you to do the same thing, okay?